Amen. That was a blessing. Thank you so much, Carol and Karen. Appreciate that. And in your Bibles, Mark chapter 4, familiar passage, familiar story. I want to talk to you this morning about how to still the storm. Father, I pray you'll still some storms in people's lives today. I pray you give us peace, victory, teach us. Lord, a lot of storms, a lot of trials, a lot of difficulties. A lot of folks going through some tough times. I just pray you'll help still some storms. I pray if there's someone here that's not saved, God, they're going through a storm in their life, knowing they're on their way to hell, the guilt. God, they can be free of that if they get saved today. Still their storm. I pray you'll speak to us now. Use your word to convict us, to teach us, to comfort, to guide. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We all go through many, many storms in life, difficulties, trials. I just looked around as before the service and just watching people and know of so many storms. Many of you go through storms I don't even know about and trials and difficulties. For some marriages, there's problems. For some, job issues. And certainly right now with job situations, factories are laying off and factories are going on strike and just all kinds of issues. And therefore, there will be financial problems. And we have folks throughout this room that are going through some of those trials. Some with school. Yes, it's out. But for some, you've had trials throughout the school year and difficulties with that. And for some, family issues and problems. And certainly all over this room, there are problems and storms and trials. And this passage is all about stilling the storm. And I love the words Jesus uses in verse 39. Peace, be still. That's what he says to the storm. And what does the storm do? It obeys. Amen. It obeys. I mean, Jesus, all he has to do is say, peace, be still. And the storm has to be still. That means the lightning has to quit flashing. That means the wind has to quit blowing. That means that the rain and the hail, that has to stop. Peace, be still, the clouds have to go away. And the clear blue sky has to be seen and the sun is shining. Why? Because Jesus says, peace, be still. I want to show you some things about the storm here. And number one, the first thing I want you to see is the ship. You'll notice verse 36, it says, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. A couple things about the ship here that we notice here. And the first thing is Jesus is inside. A ship is just a ship. It's only built to take so much. But if Jesus is inside, well, there's a big difference there. And the Bible says here in verse 36, they took him even as he was in the ship. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of you, the reason your problems are so bad to you is you're not willing to take Jesus as he is. You want to make Jesus whatever you want him to be instead of taking Jesus even as he was. And as long as he's in the ship, praise God. I mean, you're in a whole lot better shape in the storm than if he's not in the ship. If you're here today and you're not saved, I mean, honestly, you have trials just like I have trials. You have trials just like Kathy Morin is going through a trial right now. You have trials like everybody else. You just don't have Jesus in the ship. You're in the storm, you're in the sea, the wind is blowing, the storm is raging, you have the same trial, you don't have Jesus in the ship. I would encourage you to take Jesus even as he is. He's the Savior, he's the only one that can save you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You got to take him as he is. It's not your conditions. It's not your man's writings. It's what God said. He said, you must be born again. You have to take Jesus as he is. And you need to take him and him alone as Savior. Look, having a Berean Baptist Church membership in the ship is not going to help you. Having a baptismal certificate in the ship, that's not going to help you. Having your picture taken while you get baptized, that's not going to help you. But I promise you this, if you take Jesus into your heart and you let him save your soul, that'll help you when the ship's out there in the storm. You need to have Jesus inside. You need to have Jesus inside. And Christian, look, you need to have Jesus in your heart and you need to have him as he is and you need to accept him as he is and you need to let him take care of things as he is inside the ship. Ship, it's just a ship. And by the way, ships sink all the time in storms out to sea. All the time. But in this case, Jesus was inside. And we need Jesus to be inside the ship. A father was reading the paper one day, and his little girl started bothering him, as little girls do. And he needed to find something for her to do. And so he found a picture in the paper of a map of the world. And so he cut that out, and he said, "Here, look, put this back together like it was, and it'll be kind of like a puzzle." And it only took her just a short time. I mean, he couldn't believe it. She came right back and said, "Dad, look, I've got it all put together." He said, "How in the world did you do that?" He said, you're just a little girl. You don't know geography. How do you know the shapes of all the countries? And how were you able to do that?" And she said, "Dad, you don't understand. There was a picture of Jesus on the other side. And when Jesus was in the right place, the whole world was all right." And I'm going to tell you something, folks. That if you would understand that, you'd realize your ship is not going to sink if Jesus is inside. Everything's going to be all right. But you need Jesus inside. Notice also about the ship here, it wasn't alone. It says in verse 36, "And there were also with him other little ships." And I love that. I really do. God is so good about giving us the details and these other little ships. There was their ship, and the disciples in their ship were going through a storm in their lives, and it looked really bad in their lives, but they weren't alone. I got news for you. You're not alone either. You're not alone. Understand this. Understand, first of all, nothing ever happens to you and I that hadn't happened to somebody else. Nothing. Nothing. I mean, you understand your trial, your heartache, the problem you have today, somebody else has had that problem. Somebody else has been there. Somebody else has shed those tears. You say, no, you don't understand, preacher. I'm going to do something nobody... Somebody has. In fact, chances are very good somebody right here has. Now, I'm not trying to minimize. I'm just telling you that you're not alone. One of the great things about a church is you're not alone. I mean, you're never alone with Jesus. But there's people. There are people that have... They can understand. They can help you go through your storm. They can understand. They can be with you. You're not alone. You're not alone. You know, there's people going through trials right now. I sat right there. I can't see everybody. I don't see that well anyway. But I mean, it didn't take me long to come up with 10 individuals right here, right now, who are going through a trial. Some are tough trials. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, they're in situations where I mean, God's just going to have to do something. But that's okay, because in a storm, a ship out to sea, come on. I mean, you're out to sea, if the ship fills up with water, it sinks. Jesus had to do something. You know, there are situations right here. Jesus has to do something. He has to do something. I mean, I think about Brother Moore, and I mean, honestly, Jesus has to do something for him to continue as he was. But if Jesus doesn't do something physically and restore Al back the way he was, Al is going to be healed. And he is going to breathe. And he is going to breathe well, and he is going to run again. I mean, we know that as Christians. I'm just saying, in the midst of the storm, do you understand? There's Al Morin, who is laying in intensive care in the hospital, but yesterday we watched a whole wedding party come into intensive care in the hospital. Here's the bride. Here's all the wedding party. The best man, I assume, and the maid of honor, and all these people all dressed up, tuxes, wedding dress, all dressed up, and they're in the intensive care room. And I don't know what happened. I don't know anything about it other than there were a lot of tears. And you know what? There's a lot of little ships out there. There's a lot of people hurting. A lot of people going through trials. There's a lot of little ships. You're not alone. I understand the disciples, you know, as the ship is filling up with water, I know that when they look around and maybe they hear other people that are not far away screaming and yelling as well, I know it doesn't give them a whole lot of comfort to know, hey, there's other people out here drowning, but at least they, you can know and they could know there's other people out there going through some very, very tough times. You know, maybe it would cause them to take their mind off their own trials and pray for those other little ships. Pray for the people in the other little ships. The way it says there were other little ships, it gives you the idea their ship might have been bigger than the other ships. And their ship would stand a better chance anyway. Maybe it caused them to start thinking about those other little ships. I know when I start feeling sorry for myself, it doesn't take me very long to get out of that because I start thinking about other people and those other little ships. You say oh, well, preacher, I'm drowning out here. I'm sinking out here. I can't take it anymore. Well, understand, there's somebody else out there who probably has it worse than you. Somebody out there is going through something that is very difficult. And you know, if you take your mind off of your storm and pray for them, you'd be amazed what would happen. We're not alone. That ship had other ships out there in the storm. Number one's the ship. Number two's the storm. It says in verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. By the way, the ship's full. It's about over. You know, a ship cannot take full, being full of water. The storm. Yeah, I was thinking about this week with all the storms. And really, Lenawee County, I mean, we had a little storm the other day, but nothing like the rest of the country has had. Tornadoes, storms, it's unbelievable. I mean, just amazing, all the tornadoes here recently. And not far from here, tornadoes sighted. Toledo, all kinds of damage there. And Brenda's mom, 5 tornadoes just in her town alone, just passing, you know, passing through, doing some damage and everything. I know, in fact, we were at Paul and Stacy's wedding rehearsal and talking to Paul Bradstreet and talking about the Palm Sunday tornado of 1965. And how Manitow Beach, I mean, that whole area was destroyed. People were killed from the tornado that hit. And how the tornado hit where I was in Marion, Indiana. Same outbreak of tornadoes. You know, stormy weather is what man needs from time to time to remind us we're not really in charge of anything. I remember learning as a very small child, you can't stop a tornado. First grade, when the Palm Sunday tornado hit. And I learned that, you know what? You can't stop that. There's nothing you can do about that. You can't just, you know, I used to think my dad could. You know, I used to think dad could do anything. I don't know what it was that possessed me to wake my dad up in the middle of the night when it stormed and say, Dad, it's storming, like he was going to do something about it. But I do know this, when he got up, I was able to go back to sleep, even though he was not happy that I woke him up. But I don't know, you know, I eventually realized that Dad's not going to stop that thing if it's going to come. But you know what, I when I got saved at the age of 17, I found out I have a Heavenly Father that can stop it. I have a Heavenly Father that controls the whole thing. I have a Heavenly Father who, not just physical tornadoes he can stop, but he can stop the storms of life. He can help me get through those storms. Life's storms. And I've been in a lot of storms. I've been through many, many storms. A couple things about storms. The first thing about the storm is storms don't just happen. They don't just happen. It's just not just something that all of a sudden a storm happens. It's not that way physically with a tornado. I mean, the ingredients all have to be there. You'll hear the weathermen. They start talking about, I'm sorry, they're not weathermen anymore. They're meteorologists. And they'll start talking about conditions are just right for a tornado. Just what we want to hear. And they'll start talking about, you know, the warm, moist air coming in from the Gulf and the cold, dry air coming down and the wind, you know, it's just right. And there's a ridge of pressure here and low pressure pumping all that up in there. And they'll start talking about all that stuff. And they say, you know, it's not a storm, doesn't just happen. Everything has to be on purpose for it to happen. I promise you this. Your storm, your trial, whatever's happening in your life, it's not just happening. There is a reason. There is something going on. You'll notice in verse 35 something that Jesus said. And you know, a lot of Christians, they really get hung up on stuff like this. The same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Now, he knew the storm was going to come. Let's put ourselves out in the middle of the water here, and let's get out here where the waves are really going to be high. We're going to the other side. That storm didn't just happen. They needed to go to the other side. Well, yeah, but preacher, going to the other side means that they're going to have to go through the storm. Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. The storm didn't just happen. There was a purpose for the storm. There was something that they had to learn. There was something that had to happen in their lives. They had to go to the other side. And to go to the other side, they had to go through the storm. Do you understand? For you to go to the other side, you may have to go through a storm. People all the time say, oh God, take us to the next level. And I, you know, a lot of times I look at them out of the other eye, like, do you know what you're saying? You know, God, we need to grow. Or there will be the church member that will beg God to take the church to the next level. That's what Jesus said. Let's go to the other side. Do you understand when you go to the other side, you're probably going to face a storm? We say, yeah, but preacher, you always tell us we need to do God's will. And by the way, this is just the beginning of a storm. They're about to face a man who's possessed with demons on the other side. You talk about storm, it's just one storm after the other storm. You know what God's trying to show them here is God's trying to show them, peace be still. Peace works not only with the weather. God can storm the sea, but he can storm the soul too. Or he can still the storm in the soul. Oh yeah, because they're about to face this demoniac of Gadara on the other side. Hey, you want to go to the other side? There's probably going to be a storm. You're probably going to face a trial. But it's always best to be on the other side. If Jesus said, let's pass over to the other side. Let us pass over, he said. It's interesting, you can see storms coming. You know, the other day, there's severe thunderstorm warning, then a tornado watch, and then, you know, pretty soon they're talking about this severe thunderstorm, you know, all these different things, and there's one, you know, on its way, and we're going to get hit. And so I get out there, and I start looking out there in the southwest corner, and you can see them coming. That big hailstorm we had last year, I mean, you know, I was sitting out on the porch and I'm watching and you could see it coming. Truth is, most storms in life, you can see them coming. I just use this as an example because it's very fresh on our hearts and our minds. But we've watched Al for about the last 6 to 8 months. And you could see this storm coming. You could see the storm coming. Many of you, you see the clouds already starting to form. You can see it coming. There's folks, there's teenagers here. I see the storm coming in your life because of bad decisions, because of wrong moves and things that you're doing. You're begging for the storm to come in your life. Yeah, storms don't just happen. We see the signs. We see them coming. And God has a purpose. He's you know, some of you, there's a storm in your life because you made some wrong choices, and God's trying to get your attention. Oh, he can easily say, "Peace, be still," when it's time. Or you're wanting to grow and you're wanting to do right, and all of a sudden here's this storm. He's just taking you to the other side. There's something you're going to learn. But notice here about this storm. Pretty soon the boat was full. The storm was about to claim the victory. And it was almost too late. But you know what? It's never too late as long as Jesus is on board. Amen. And I'm telling you, it cannot get any worse than it was here when the waves beat into the ship so that it's now full. The only thing that's worse than that is they're all saying blub, 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 blub. There is no way it's any worse except that they're underwater. But Jesus was on board. And you know what? If the ship sank, he would sink too. I mean, if I go down, he dwells inside of me. He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." He said, "Lo, I am with you always." I mean, he's with me. And so if I sink, he sinks too. He's still there with me. The ship, the storm, number three, the Savior. Jesus is still in the ship. Verse 38, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. I love that. By the way, he didn't bail out. "I'll never leave thee." He's not going to leave. There he is. He's in a deep sleep. Boy, I love reading that. Every time I read that, that encourages me. Because we are in, I mean, honestly, times are tough. Read your newspaper. Well, wait a minute, don't. You might get discouraged. I mean, gas prices, it's not over. It just started. Election issues. Isn't it exciting? And you know what? Brother Monroe, boy, he did a good job yesterday at the men's breakfast. But he said, God's not worried about any of that. He's not. Just like in this storm. Can you imagine? I mean, you imagine a ship is full of water now. Do you understand the waves that it had to crash on that ship to fill that ship up with water? It's hard to even believe how much the waves had to splash and crash against that boat. And Jesus is sound asleep. I don't know if it's irreverent to say he was snoring or not, but he was asleep. On a pillow. I mean, the waves hit him. Water, but he's sound asleep. Lightning crashes, thunder, the wind, the waves, all of it. He's sound asleep. "Oh God, what are we going to do about a president? Oh!" I don't know if he sleeps with his mouth open or not, but he's sound asleep. "Oh, the gas price, we can't afford it. Everybody's getting laid off. Our jobs are going away." Deep sleep. So what's he waiting on? Well, he didn't have to do anything yet. Maybe he's waiting on him to call on him. Maybe he's waiting on you to call on him. "I maxed out my credit card." Maybe you ought to max out prayer. "Well, I've called everybody. Called the bank. Called the relatives. I always find it interesting as I read this that they waited until the boat was full. You know? We have nothing in the recording here of the scripture that they went to him when the storm started. We have nothing that they went as the ship was being tossed to and fro. We have nothing that indicates that. I mean, now it's full. Okay, let's call on Jesus. And they woke him up after the boat was full. I often am amazed when we make Jesus the last choice. You know, when we're about to drown, we call on Jesus. When the storm is about to totally take us under, then we call on Jesus. And it's amazing what they say. They awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He's asleep. Why don't you care? What are you doing? Sleeping. Don't you care about us? It's just that it amazes me every time I read that. That's how we are. So the first time we call on him, the boat's full. First time we call his name, the boat's full. First time we call his name, we're broke. First time we call his name, we have no job. First time we call his name, we've been laid off. First time we called his name, doctor says there's no hope. First time we called his name, the relationship's gone. First time we called his name, it's over. How about when you saw the first puff over there? Lord, I detect a low pressure area about to do its thing in my life. Or how about abiding in Christ, where we just talk to him all the time? These guys, and then to say, don't you care? How could you sleep? I promise you this, he's not asleep on the election issue. He's not asleep on the gasoline issue either. He's not asleep on the job issues either. He's got it all under control. Amen. Every part of it's under control. Amen. Yeah. Some of you, your boat's getting full. You might want to call on him. But I would encourage you to call on him way, way, way before that. They question his care. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Well, if they perished, he would. You ever think about that? Carest thou not that we perish? Oh, he cares. By the way, if you and I are overcome in a storm, his word, his honor is at stake. He said, I'll never leave thee. No, he's not going to bail out. He's with you. He's with you. It'll be all right. Believe him. Trust him. The Savior. Number four is the stillness. Verse 39, it says, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I love that. He rebuked the wind. You ever think about that? He preached to the wind. Yeah. Isn't that good? You ever pray and say, God, could you rebuke the wind in my life right now? It doth blow too hard. God just says, wind, stop, sea, peace be still. And it's done. And it's still. You know, it's interesting here. It doesn't say he rebuked the disciples. They just said a kind of a dumb thing. Didn't they? Weren't they kind of foolish right there? Master, carest thou not that we perish? Yeah, that was kind of foolish. He'd been asleep. But he didn't rebuke them. He rebuked the storm. He stopped the storm. Now, he's getting ready to teach them something, but he stopped the storm. The Bible doesn't say he rebuked them, but first he met the need. Yeah, immediately he met the need. As soon as they called, he met the need. He arose and he rebuked the wind. I mean, he got right up, rebuked the wind. He didn't get up and say, oh no, what am I going to do? He just did what he always does. He took care of it immediately. And peace came. Total peace. Can you imagine what that would have been like? I'm talking about these huge waves that are about to fill up. They filled up the boat with water, and the boat's about to capsize and go under. And all of a sudden, I mean, like that, the waves, it's perfectly still. And I got news for you. God can do that with your trial too. God can do that with your storm. God can do that with your heartache, with your pain, with your sorrow. God can do that. Peace. And you know what? Jesus, He does put an end to storms. And He does it just like that. I know. I've been in the storms. The stillness. And then the last thing I want you to see is, I call it the sermon, verse 40. And I think it's really what the whole thing was about. You know, nothing happens but what He's trying to get you to the other side. He's trying to teach us. He's trying to help us to grow. And after everything, now everything's calm, sun's shining, everything's beautiful. I mean, the sea is as smooth as glass. Wind's not blowing, no rain, no hail, no lightning, no thunder. Everything's perfect. The disciples are all saying, phew. I mean, I think we could probably hear them with their buckets still getting the water out of the boat. Amen. So just the occasional splash of a bucket full of water going out of the boat, and Jesus speaks. And there is no danger anymore. And He says, why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? By the way, He's already been the testimony of it, because He was sound asleep. Why are you so fearful? You know, what's He saying? I'm here. Why are you so fearful? Okay, if you're not saved, I'd be scared to death if I were you. I don't care what the trial. If I was not saved, if there was a severe thunderstorm, watch. I'd watch. If there was a tornado, watch. I'd watch. I'd hold on with both hands to the steering wheel of my automobile if I wasn't saved. Because death puts you in hell. I'd be watching everything if I wasn't saved. I'd be scared to death. If I wasn't saved, I'd get saved. This morning, I would trust Jesus as my Savior. I would come to Him. I would call on Him to come into my heart and forgive me and save me if I wasn't saved. But you know, as a Christian, He asks, why are you fearful? I'm in the boat. It's okay. Christian, why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? And then He asks this question, how is it that ye have no faith? No faith. How is it? How is it that you have no faith? I think He wonders, why didn't you call sooner? I think He wonders why they didn't talk to Him as the lightning, they could see it in the distance. I mean, sure, the storms there would come on very quickly, but why wait until the boat's full? Do you know what I've found in the storm many, many times? It's not so much that He always stops the storm, but He makes the storm so that I can join Him and sleep too. Because I know it's okay. If all I do is go through my storm and worry and fret and wonder, and I leave Him out of the picture till the boat's full, that's what He wants to know. Why is it you have no faith? Talk to me. How can you not have... Hey, fellas, I've been with you all this time. You've heard me preach. I've shown you, you've seen miracles. How is it that you have no faith? I asked you that question this morning. How is it that we have no faith? People quit during the storm. I've seen people quit. I'm done. I can't handle it. And you're just asking for more storms. people backslide in the middle of the storm, people, just so many different things, you know. Whatever happened, just trusting God. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, okay, storm clouds are rising. You go back to the back of the boat and you say, Jesus, you see that cloud? That looks like a pretty big storm coming up. He says, you know what? It is going to storm. You are going to go through a storm. And it is a big storm. But you just stay right here with me. It's going to be all right. Jesus, it's going to be all right. Wait a minute. Hey, we have the illustration of that with Paul. Euroclodon. Huge storm. Paul's a prisoner on the ship. They're all going to die. Except Jesus tells Paul, be of good cheer. It's going to be all right. No one's going to die, Paul. No one's going to die. Paul goes to the crew, and I mean, the storm's raging all around him. He says, well, let's eat. By the way, proof he's a Baptist. We're going to live. How do you know? Jesus told me. Huh. It's going to be all right. And I'm going to tell you, you can go through your storm your own way if you want. But I promise you this, the way to have peace and the storm to be still is to get with Jesus and let him go through the storm with you. I'm telling you, he doesn't always say peace be still right at the beginning. In fact, peace be still, the boat had to be full before he said it. But if they would have just gone back and sat with him, they could have all gotten together and sang Amazing Grace during the storm. They could have got together and Jesus led them in victory in Jesus during the storm. Because eventually, listen to me now, eventually he was going to get up and say, peace be still. You know, you need to ride with him in the hinder part of the boat. And they asked the question, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And they learned a lesson. What manner of man is that? Not like anyone we've ever seen. And you know what? He's not like anyone you've ever seen. He is the one that can still the storm. He is the one that can give you peace in the midst of the storm. He is the one that had they gone back and just gone through the storm with him, maybe they would have laid down, found themselves a pillow, curled up and gone to sleep too. I'll be honest with you. That's what he wants us to be able to do. He gives that kind of peace. I would encourage you this morning. You're going to face storms. You're facing storms now. The room is full of people going through some tough times, tough trials. Don't wait till the boat's full to get close to Jesus. Get close to him now. You say, I see it coming. I know I'm headed for... You are. You are. Those storms are going to come because he wants you to go to the other side. Let him take you. Let him take you. If you're here today and you're not saved, you don't even have Jesus in the ship. You need him. You need him. Because you know what? I say this all the time. I do not understand how unsaved people ever go to a funeral. I don't understand. There is no hope. I do understand unsaved people, funeral services, where the reverend just gets up and reads. Honestly, I do understand that, Brother Hawkins. You know why? Because I don't know what else you'd say. I don't know what else you'd say. I don't know how unsaved people sit in intensive care units where a little line going up and down means their loved one's alive. I don't know how unsaved people go through that. I don't know how unsaved people hear the alarm go off when the heart stops beating. I don't know how they go through all that stuff when they're unsaved. Me? I got Jesus here. He's in the ship. And no matter how deep the water, no matter how hot the fire, no matter how hard the trial, no matter how bad the storm, He is with me in the storm. And if I will just lean on Him, if I will just go with Him, if I'll say, okay, you guys can stay in the front of the ship all you want. I'm going back with Jesus. I'm going to be with Him. I'm going to let Him give me comfort. I'm going to let Him give me assurance. I'm not talking about a voice you're going to hear audibly. I'm talking about a peace that only He gives. I'm talking about a comfort that only He gives. I'm talking about a joy that only He gives in the middle of the storm. You say, I'm waiting on the waves to stop. No, listen to me. You may not see the waves stop for a while. What you need is Jesus to stop the waves of your soul and give you peace that passes all understanding. Let's bow our heads, please.